Hi, guys.
Hello.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
I'm Allison.
I'm Jane.
Oh, man, we're having a full day.
Yeah, it's true. This is our second hour. We're entering our second hour of recording for the day. Just recorded our Patreon episode for you guys. So we are covering our favorite movies at the moment. Not favorite movies, favorite TV shows at the moment. If you guys want to hop on over to the Patreon and donate some money.
Yeah, and we also recorded yesterday. Mm-hmm. So it's been a busy recording weekend. And we saw the movie we're recording about today last night.
Yes.
So all in all, been very intense for trying to get all this set up.
Yeah, it's been a lot with, you know, learning how to record from separate places. And then also...
Yeah, it's been really stressful.
Allison leaving is also not great.
I know, I'm stressing out. I leave...
So I'm stressing out.
By the time this comes out, I will already have been gone for, like, almost a week. I know. So I don't leave. Tomorrow's my last day in town from when we're recording it today. So today's the 8th?
Yeah.
Yeah, so today's the 8th, which means I leave on the 10th. So it's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I know. I know. I think Liam is starting to, like, understand.
It's starting to hit him?
Yeah, because he was like, I don't want you to leave. And I was like, well, too bad. I was like, you haven't been acting like you care if I'm leaving at all. And he was like, that's just because I kept being like, oh, we have time, we have time, we have time. And he's like, and now we don't have time.
That's so sad.
I know, it is sad. But, oh well.
Yeah.
All right, so...
So how are you? How are you other than that?
I am good. I just am just really stressed about getting everything together, and, like, I had my, like, going away party, and then, like, a bunch of people didn't come, which is okay, but now all those people that, like, didn't come are like, oh my gosh, I want to see you, I want to see you, and it's like, well,
you should have come to
my... I have a lot of time left to see you. Kind of, I'm leaving, so...
They should have come to your going away party. That's what they're for.
I know, and I gave a lot of time in advance.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's very much like, I don't have enough time to see everyone that wants to see me, and also, like, it's like, it feels bad telling them no, but then I'm also like, telling them no for people that I see all the time, but also I'm like, well, these are the people I'm the closest to, so I want to see them.
Yeah.
Really, before I leave.
Definitely.
Not the rest of you hoes. I mean, I want to see all those hoes too, but that's what the going away party was for.
You want to spend most of your time with, like, your close friends who you're really going to miss.
Exactly. Exactly. How are you?
I'm good.
Now that you're all... settled in.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm at my new dining room table, so that's so nice.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so great. Our friend Michaela's gonna move in with us, which is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Our fridge still doesn't really work, so that sucks.
No, he has a picture fridge.
No, not yet.
Uh-oh.
I think I'm gonna have to remind him.
Yeah, maybe get some ice and put it. Or put everything in the freezer or something.
Yeah, the freezer works. But
it's weird, it's just the fridge.
Yeah, the fridge doesn't get cold enough to hold the meat.
Ew, no.
It sucks.
Put it on ice.
Yeah.
Then so, the ice melts.
Yeah. So all of our meat is in the freezer.
Well, at least it'll stay.
Yeah.
It'll hold at least.
Yeah. But I made linguine, Alfredo linguine with chicken for tonight, so that's nice.
Yay, I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Yep.
It's going to be fun.
Yep, we're going to watch A Star Is Born, which we can't cover on the podcast because I'm too emotionally involved in it, and that would not be good.
Yeah, it's going to be... Oh, we're going to have a good time, I think. I'm really excited.
Yes, it'll be great. So...
Last night.
I guess
so we... So tonight... Can... Ah! This movie! I'm so excited to talk about it.
I know, me too.
Well, it's still fresh in my mind.
We've been waiting for this movie for a whole year.
It's so true. We knew when we were going to go see it. We knew it was coming out right before I left. Yep. So
we've been planning.
The movie is It Chapter 2.
Yep, we're doing It. We're going to do It Chapter 1 briefly, but it's more going to focus on It Chapter 2 because we just saw it.
Yeah, and probably you've seen It Chapter 1 if you're listening to this.
Yes, I'm sure you have. Yes.
So, let's give you a little baby recap.
Yeah, so in the first, I'm sure most everyone knows the plot of It. It's pretty famous. If you haven't seen the new ones, you probably have seen the old one with Tim Curry.
It's a clown.
It's a clown who feeds on children.
Yep.
He, we're going to get into like what exactly he is later. I have a lot of notes on that. But he's a clown. He's like basically a force of a malevolent force of some sort who is like wanting to prey on children and eat them to, you know, gain power and that type of thing. He comes around every 27 years and then goes into hibernation. I mean, and goes into hibernation for those 27 years.
Yep.
Yep.
So the first one follows this group of friends everyone affectionately calls the Losers Club.
Yep, these kids. It's like in the 1980s.
Yeah, and basically like one of them, his name's Bill, his brother gets eaten by this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then his like, you know, going after to find his brother or whatever ends up getting all of them involved with this creature.
Yep.
And that's basically the first one. They fight it. It goes into hiding.
Mm-hmm. They injure it enough that it goes into hiding, and it cuts the massacre off short for that year.
For that year. And so that then, chapter two, 27 years later.
Yep.
They're adults.
They're adults. There's James McAvoy. That's where we
pick up.
There's Jessica Chastain. There's Bill Hader. There's those three other guys.
We don't care. No, whose names aren't as famous. Yeah, really top of the line casting.
Top of the line. Movie. Oh my gosh, the guy who played Eddie is so good for the guy, like as the guy who played the kid version of him. So perfect.
Literally every single person it's like scary much they are like their counterpart.
Even Ben, who, like, was fat as a kid, but then he gets, like, super hot as an adult, like, he still looks like the kid. Like, his eyes are the same.
Yeah. It's really weird. Like, oh, I'm yawning. I'm sorry. If there was an Oscar for casting director, this is it.
True.
Best. Amazing. Amazing casting. Amazing acting. So good.
So good.
So
the movie's like 3 hours long.
Yeah, it's a long... It's a, you sit. You gotta settle in for this one.
What?
But it is... I said it's long. You gotta settle in for this one.
Mm-hmm, it's true.
But it is... It kind of... it does have some scenes that kind of flash back to the old movie, that flash back to the kids. I believe in the book... The actual story, at least parts of it, are told interchangeably from the kid's perspective and the adult's perspective.
Yes, I read the book. So just disclaimer.
It flashes back.
A disclaimer. The whole time. A disclaimer about my reading of the book. I read it twice, but I read it first whenever I was a sophomore in high school, and then I listened to it on audiobook last year in preparation for the first one. And yeah. I just want to say that it is really long and really convoluted, and it's very confusing at some parts.
Yeah, it's like over 1,100 pages.
It is a coke dream. Like, obviously, Stephen King was very high when he wrote it. It's like really
it's
really intense.
Literally classic Stephen King, where it's like, oh my god, dude, so much stuff.
It's so much stuff that happens, and we're gonna, I'll go into detail about like some of the weirder stuff that he writes and why they didn't include that in the movie, because it's so
much.
It's a little much.
Yeah, so it's kind of like they didn't put the orgy scene into the first one, you know?
Yeah, they were like, let's not do that.
Maybe that one gets cut out. So many Stephen King movies, it's impossible to make them close to the book.
Because books are so sexual.
And the books are so long, and there's so much stuff that goes into whatever explanation there is, that it's like, well, we just don't have time to cover that.
Yeah, it's like The Shining. Like, Stanley Kubrick was exactly. Like, I'm not explaining exactly. The Shining like that.
No, and he's like, I'm not even gonna freaking explain it at all, because it's too much. It's too much, man.
Yeah. So,
do we want to start with initial thoughts on this movie?
Yeah.
I feel like maybe that's a good starting place. Hopefully, if you're listening to this, you literally just saw this movie, so you don't need too much of a recap. But it's literally just like, it's 27 years later, he's back, they're fighting him again.
Yep, that's what's happening.
There you go.
Yep. So
it's the same plot.
Yeah, it's the same thing. They're fighting this force, and that's what they're doing.
But now they have... Their childhood fears have turned into adult anxieties.
So true.
So it's like, oh, even harder.
You go first.
Okay. I liked the movie a lot. I didn't like it as much as the first one.
I also didn't like it as much as the first one. It's not as scary.
No. Mainly, I thought, like, in this one... My main problem was, in the first one, like, the kids are together most of the time, mm-hmm. So it's, like, the group dynamic is really good, and, like, you kind of get to know all the kids, and you like them a lot, and you, like, really learn about their relationships, but this one, like, kind of assumes that you really remember the first movie,
mm-hmm.
Because they break off the group so much. Like, most of this movie, the group is not together.
Yeah.
And I didn't really like that, because I wanted to see them together. And because they break off so much, it's kind of like the plot becomes this, like, little side story show for, like, an hour.
Yeah.
Where it's like, now we're with Jessica Chastain, now we're with Bill Hader, now we're with Bill, now we're with, Ben. Like, it's just... It's like we follow them around. And then poor Mike, like, the writing for Mike is just so shit.
It's so shit in both of them.
In both of the movies, Mike gets such a fucking shitty stick. Like, he's literally barely in it. His writing is, like, so piss poor compared to the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, like, that was the biggest thing is it was, like, these things that could have taken about half the time than they needed to. Like, getting the relics realistically could have taken, like, half the amount of time. But because they spent so long with the scary jump scare stuff, it took up a lot more time than it needed to.
Yeah. Well,
okay. Like, I like the jump scare stuff, especially because I love movies like, you know, Hereditary, Midsommar, where it's more plot-driven and it's just overall very disturbing and scary. So it's nice when you have, like, a refreshing movie like this that does have, like, actual really horror movie elements, but with still a pretty strong plot.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie's kind of, like, too long to be spending as much time as it does on jump scare stuff. Like, if The Conjuring was 3 hours, nobody would watch it.
Exactly. I disagree. I think it's because I read the book. I really think that that's what it is. So in the book, there is like a large portion of the book is the group separating out into like just exploring the town, mm-hmm. and remembering like what their traumas, remembering, you know, all the things, mm-hmm. that happened in the town. And I really like that. I really think that it like goes deeper into the characters, and I really liked that, and I really liked that in the movie. And then I had a really big problem with the amount of weird, just disturbing stuff and freaky stuff for the sake of being disturbing and freaky. And I wish that they had shown the clown more. I wish that it was more just Pennywise and not so much all the other stuff that he turned into, which I get. I understand it. It's you have to add, like, variety. But I think that...
I do think Pennywise as the clown is scarier, though.
Yeah, Pennywise is way, like, scarier.
I understand in the final little battle sequence or whatever, you kind of need him to be like, okay, you need the alien spider crab thing.
Well, he does turn into a spider in the book, so that's not like a huge deal.
But, like, we didn't really see very much of actual just Pennywise in this movie. Like, in the first one, almost exclusively he shows up as Pennywise.
Exactly, and I like that more.
Me too. And in this one, it's like, he's this person, and he's this person, and he's this person. But, yeah, I would have liked to have seen more Pennywise, because that's, like, the scariest part of him, his scariest form, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think Pennywise is definitely the scariest form.
Also, he doesn't talk a lot in this movie, which is kind of a shame.
The scariest part is his freaking voice. Remember the first scene in the first movie, whenever he's talking to Georgie? It's terrifying. His voice, yeah. Bill Skarsgård is such a good actor, and he delivers those lines so well, and they didn't show him off.
Exactly. I know, and he like barely gets to talk, which is a real shame, because it's like one of my favorite parts are his lines.
And I wish
the scene at the beginning with the little girl, such a freaking waste of time.
Yeah, yeah.
I know he eats kids. I don't need to see him. I was like, that was like 10 or 15 minutes of this movie.
We get it, he eats children.
Literally, and we get how he does it too, like...
Well, the...
We've seen it.
The whole, like, hate crime is in the book as well, and...
Oh, that part is fucking sad.
It's so sad.
That, to me, was okay.
Yeah,
that, I liked that.
I liked the scene where, and, like, he saw the clown, you know, eating him down by the river. Down by the river!
Yeah. Well, and that kind of needs to happen, because that's what tips Mike off to the fact that Pennywise is back.
Yeah, exactly, because someone was like, I saw a freaking clown.
Yeah, and it was, like, such a violent thing. Also, I thought it was interesting that the bodies this time were being found.
Yeah, that is interesting.
In the last movie, you don't find the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why nobody thinks it's, like, a serial killer or anything. Like, nobody knows what it is.
Yeah. The scene where all the bodies, like, come out of the huge hole, like, mm-hmm. the huge thing is so, like, disturbing.
I know. The stuff is really scary, but sometimes it just was like, I don't need all this CGI scary stuff when I would rather
just see Bill Skarsgård in his costume being a freaky, freaky clown. That's what I want.
Yeah, or just move on with the plot. Like,
yeah,
just go forward. Like, there were so many things that were like, this is really could have been taken out.
I agree. Like, there's this one point where the movie kind of just goes like batshit for a hot minute, in my opinion. Yeah. And I was just in the theater like, what is happening? And like, granted, the book does too, and the book is like way less clear about a lot of things, but
yeah,
like.
They did make a couple changes from the book that I know of. Like, I watched an IGN video of, like, the main differences.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a couple things I understand why they changed it for, either, like, being faster, or maybe not having to introduce more characters, or, that kind of thing. But I kind of, like, what was the point of bringing back Henry?
Well, Henry's really important because he's important in the book, at least, because he's the one who attacks Mike, and Mike goes into the hospital, and he's not even there whenever when they're doing the ritual of Chud, really. Like,
just another way fucking Mike gets screwed. But
yeah, it's true. Mike gets screwed.
in this whole series. But he was so bad in this movie. He's like, first of all, so easily taken down. In the first one, he's like such a problem. And in this one, it's literally not a problem at all. They literally stop him, like, immediately.
Yeah. And it...
And...
The build-up to it...
barely has, like... It's horrible. Yeah. It's like, he's back, and then he just gets stabbed, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't really do anything. Like, I understand Eddie does get stabbed in the face in the book, but... If you weren't going to stab Mike, you might as well have just left that out.
I think that Mike should have gone to the hospital because, like, there is a whole scene where, like, it takes over a nurse and tries to kill Mike in the hospital. And it's, like, fighting him off
Mike,
and stuff.
Mike in the actual action scene is the worst part. Like, in the whole fight, Mike is the worst thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't, they never come up with, like, a fear for him. He doesn't really have, like, an artifact. So, he just kind of, like, stands there, and then when it is attacking everyone, he just, like, hides, and he doesn't have to face anything, and then we just come back to him, and nothing happens. Like, he says a bunch of bullshit that never gets explained, like, really cryptic, and it's like, in the end, he probably should have just been in the hospital. Especially because that would have posed an even greater challenge for
Because there weren't going to be enough of them. Two are already gone. Like, Stan and Mike, and Mike aren't there, then that makes them weaker, and that makes it, like, it scarier.
Plus, if Mike's the one who's been doing all the research, not having him is a big deal.
Exactly. Exactly. But it makes the consequences more dire, him not being there.
Exactly. But when he is there and he doesn't add anything, it's like either take out the bully thing completely so that we don't even think that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Or follow the bully story to its completion and do what's supposed to be done with it. Because ultimately, him stabbing Eddie had no consequences in the movie.
No, it didn't. And like a part of that is just how they get Henry, how Henry dies is like that. That's the point of that scene in the book, because we know that he's stabbed Mike and that's a big deal because he's like really, yeah. He's like really, really racist in the movie. And like, that's a whole yeah. plot. And like during the scenes where Mike is narrating, like he always talks about how Henry is so racist and like all this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So in the book, the Eddie's attack serves a purpose for, you know, how Henry dies.
Yeah, and exactly. So it's like he doesn't produce any consequences on any of the characters, so what's his point of being there?
Yeah, I agree.
He either needs to give consequence or he needs to not be there.
Yeah.
And especially because, like, in the book, Beverly's husband and Bill's wife are both bigger characters.
Yeah, they both come to Derry. Like,
they both come to Derry to search for their respective spouse.
Well, and then Tom wants to kill Beverly.
Right. Well, still searching for her. and then it uses Beverly's husband in order to, like, lure the losers down into the sewer, basically.
Yeah, he kidnaps Bill's wife and then goes in the sewers and they all go down there.
I definitely understand, like, kind of why that would maybe be one of the cuts that you make, especially if you're trying to focus more on, like, how they, as children, didn't really grow up out of their fears.
Mm-hmm.
If that's, like, your focus, I understand why maybe you'd take that out, because it's like, now we have to add all these two people, and you got to know about them, and we got to focus on these people more, and this movie's already 3 hours. But it feels like you could have taken out every single one of Henry's scenes and replaced it with that, and it would have been better.
Yeah, maybe they shouldn't. If Mike isn't going to go to the hospital, then they should just cut Henry out, and then they should just like use Tom and Audra in place of Henry, right?
Yeah. And it's like, and if you're not going to do that, then I guess don't do it, but just don't bring back any humans. But also, I think having the humans is nice because it itself doesn't really pose that much of a threat because it's not real. Like, it freaks you out and it feeds on your fear, and if you're not afraid, what can you do? But humans can actually hurt you.
Yeah, like, if he takes over a human, which he, like, uses people who are already evil or in some way or have that energy to them, he uses them as a tool.
Exactly. So it's like that, and they did that in the first movie, and I think it worked really well.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been nice to have had that in the second movie.
Yeah, like how he uses Beverly's father.
Exactly.
Are you coughing?
Yep. I got some water, though. I'm good.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that to me, also just Mike as a whole, I really can't get over how bad it was. Like, okay, first of all, Mike barely even in the first movie.
Oh yeah, he's like,
I barely remember him.
He's just there.
So in the second one, you think this is Mike's time because
he's the one who's done the research. He's the one who's calling them.
He did the research. He stayed in Derry for fucking 27 goddamn years. He calls them. He gets them all together. He gives them all the instructions, the ritual thing. He learns all about it. He teaches Bill. And then he just fucking disappears until the last hour.
Just put him in the hospital. Just put him in the freaking hospital. It's already written.
At least it makes sense. I know. And it's like, what did he do while they were all doing their shit? He just waited around? Like, and also he's the only one that really didn't have to face a fear at all. What was his fear? Like, oh, my parents got burned.
But apparently they didn't even do that in the book. Like, that didn't even happen in the book. His issue is Henry. That is his fear in the book.
And then it's like, so what the fuck? What is this whole thing? I don't know. It just didn't make any sense. They barely touched on it. And then also, at the very end, this gets me so much. Mike comes face to face with it, and it is, like, trying to scare him. He says, you can't scare me because I know what you actually are. And then they never talk about that again.
No.
He never talks about what it, like, why aren't you afraid of it? He can clearly inflict harm. Like, what?
I did want to say, so what it actually is in the book, at least. So let me find it.
He's like an alien.
It's an alien, but he's technically, his true form is the Deadlights. And the Deadlights is what happened to Beverly.
Right.
And those are like the three lights that you see all the time. That is what he is.
Right.
Yeah,
I know they say like his true form is light, which is why they have to like snuff it out with darkness or whatever.
Yep. This is an article from Time. It says, in the book, the ritual takes readers on a psychic journey into King's macroverse, the realm in which its true form, the Deadlights, that transfixed Veb when she saw inside Pennywise's mouth in the first movie, coexists along a massive, benevolent turtle named Maturin who vomited out the mainstream universe in King's novels. So basically, it is a macroverse of Stephen King's work. That's what it is.
Okay. So, he's, like, the evil side of the universe, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
But then why would you not be afraid? And why would you even say that if you're not going to explain it? And then why? And then also, so he says that whole, oh, I know what you are. And he just says, like, oh, you're just light, whatever. But then when the actual defeating of it is so disappointing.
It is.
Because in the first one, it's like, okay, if we get rid of our fears and we get over our fears, that's how you make him weak. And then you can start physically hurting him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they had to do in the first book, is they had to confront their fears, face them, and get over their trauma in order to make him weak enough to hurt him.
Yeah.
But in this one, even though they all face their traumas, it doesn't do anything. And then they have to insult him? How? What?
Yeah, they have to verbally assault him?
I was like, this hurts his feelings bad enough? Really? Like, calling him a clown?
Yeah, and it, and, he, and the thing like, is, he's not just a clown. And I don't understand why they say that, because that confuses the audience into thinking that, like, oh, it's an actual clown. It's not. Like, that's, he's an alien.
Yeah,
and
made, he's just taking a form as a clown. It made it seem like he used to be, like, a... It made it seem like he used to be a clown, especially because we see that picture with the old lady or whatever. It makes it seem like he used to be a clown who then got supernatural powers.
Yeah.
Which is not the case.
No.
He's never been a clown. He took the form of a clown because at some point it was easier to lure children to him.
Yes. That's exactly why he took the form of a clown, is because...
That's why he took the form of a clown. Not because he was a circus clown. And that the scene where they have Bill Skarsgård putting on the makeup...
Yeah, that's so confusing.
Also makes it seem like he's just a person.
And he's not. And I don't understand. He's a supernatural force. That's the point. That's what it is.
It's not make sense. I don't know why they put that in there at all.
And they could have in the time that they used like to address that, they could have done like, you know, adding Bill's wife in or adding Beverly's husband in or something like that that would have made some things make more sense.
Literally anything else. Could have done anything else.
And it's already written. It's already in the book.
Giant turtle.
You have so much material to pick from.
I know. And then, so they do that for some reason. And then also with the like, so I wish, because in the first one, they like have to face their fears and that's how they kill him. Why did facing their fears not hurt him at all this time?
Yeah, I don't understand. It's not explained.
Like, they all face their fears, and it doesn't hurt him at all. Also, so, like, in the book, the ritual of Chud is in the book.
Yes, it is.
It's different. It's way different.
It's very different.
It's really sexual. So I know why they didn't keep it.
Yeah, it's the kids having sex.
It's weird. Yeah, it's basically, yeah, it's like... They all have to put their tongue together and bite it and something about laughing and joking. And it involves tongues touching each other and people being really close. And I know why they didn't put it into the movie.
Yeah.
I understand why they burned these fucking artifacts. But in the book, the kids attempt the ritual as children and fail.
Yes.
Which is why 27 years later, they have to attempt the ritual again. And this time they succeed, which is what kills him, ultimately. In this, they never attempted the ritual in the first place, yet somehow they wounded him.
Yeah.
And then the Native American tribe that they make up for the movie, they failed at the ritual, but it never explains why. Because then the adults fail at the ritual, and there's no consequence! Because they still kill him!
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I don't understand. I don't understand the ritual of Chud in this.
In the end, the ritual didn't even mean anything. So I feel like they should have either just fought them the same way they did as kids, but it would be more difficult because this time you're adults and your fears are a lot more like...
Real.
Life-altering. Yeah. And then, so it's like either fight them the same way you did as kids and this time... be successful, or let the ritual of Chud work, because it can't fail. If they fail after another person's failed, then how did they kill him? Because in the book, they don't fail. The ritual works, which is how they kill him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But they learned about the ritual as children, and they failed, and somebody did fail, but it was them. So it's like, what was that change for? Like, why did you add the whole ritual thing seems like very convoluted. Like, why not just take it out?
It is convoluted, and it's convoluted in the book, but I feel like it's even more so in the movie. Like, I think it was like, how do we get the ritual of Chud in here without, you know, doing this weird sex stuff? And I'm like, well, maybe just cut it out.
Exactly. Like, and you're going to have them face their fears anyway. And in the first movie, you cut out the ritual. So why not just cut out the ritual now?
Yeah. You didn't want to do the child sex scene, and I understand, but so just cut it out.
If you're going to use the ritual of Chud the way you did it, that's fine, but it needs to be done the first time.
Yeah.
In the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not going to do it in the first movie and establish that the ritual of Chud is, like, a thing, there's not really a point to bring it in, and bringing in, like, a fake group of people who tried it once.
And that's...
Especially, like, obvious... obviously they didn't succeed or it wouldn't exist.
Yeah, and also that whole scene where, like, whatever, James McAvoy is getting, like, that vision and he remembers the Ritual of Chud. Well, we don't remember the Ritual of Chud because it wasn't addressed in the first movie, so why are you referencing it now?
Exactly. I don't mind that they changed the ritual because I wouldn't have wanted to see all that stuff, but I do feel like they didn't change it for the better, and that probably the best thing to do would have just been to take it out.
I agree. And maybe and just replace it with their spouses. I think that they should have used
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And, like, fighting their fears. Because if it feeds on fear, like, from what we understood from the first movie, we understood that it fed on fear, and that's how it became powerful. And when you weren't afraid, it became weak.
Yeah.
So that's what we know going into this. And then for it to be this whole thing, like, oh no, that's not how you defeat it. It's this weird ritual thing that does this. And it's like, what? And then it wasn't even in the end, it wasn't like, oh, the Chud ritual was wrong. It is your fears. It is being brave that kills it. That isn't what even killed it. It was making him feel bad.
Yeah.
All of it was just very convoluted and made no sense. When you already had given a reason that everyone had accepted.
Yeah, and I think that they just kind of, they don't follow what happened in the first movie. And they don't really follow what happened in the book either. And it's kind of confusing. And it is convoluted. That's how I would describe a lot. A lot of the scenes were really good. Like, the acting was top notch, so it's hard to make the scenes bad.
It was scary. It's scary.
Yeah, it's a horror movie. It's definitely a horror movie. It gets the job done.
Yeah, it's scary and the acting's amazing, but it felt like to me, if they were going to stray from the book, they should have just strayed. Instead, they were like trying to like half keep true to the book.
Yeah.
And in the end, it made your writing suffer. It's either like just either write the story you want to write or do the book. Because trying to do it, like, halfway is not working.
No, I agree.
Stick with the world you already made.
I was really disappointed in the things that they chose to include from the book and the things that they chose to cut, because I think that it should have been swapped.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the whole spouse thing, because that added another level of fear, because, you know, it's scary that Beverly's husband is coming after her, and it's scary for Bill that his wife is getting, you know, kidnapped. And that kind of adds to their real adult fears, you know?
Yeah. I also did like the choice to make Richie gay for Eddie.
I agree. And also in the book, there is one scene where in the book, Richie, after Eddie dies, Richie caresses his face. And a lot of people interpret that as romantic. So
yeah,
that's
I
where
was
that
gonna
comes
say,
from.
I know that there was always kind of a ship between Richie and Eddie, since like the original content, and it's never been explicitly said, but I think it works.
I do too. I think that
it's a good fear for Richie.
Yeah, and I think that in the book they address everyone's sexuality so intensely, but they don't really go that deep into Richie's, which is interesting. The book is set in the 50s and the 80s, and this is set in the 80s and the 2000s, and so, as Bill Hader said, obviously it's going to be different.
Right. Well, yeah, it's like, okay, obviously maybe he can come out like where he couldn't before.
Yeah.
Also, that first scene with the gay stuff in this, oh my god, so sad.
It's so sad. It's heartbreaking. That's such a, like, a terrifying scene in the book. That's a really scary scene in the book. Like,
it's really scary in the movie, too. Like, it's like, again, like that Nocturnal Animals highway scene where you're like, holy shit, just adrenaline.
Yeah.
Where it's like, the whole idea of, like, people just beating people up to death is so terrifying to me because that happens.
It happens all the time.
People just get, like, carried away and they fucking kill people.
Yeah, it happens all the time. It's so scary.
Especially to, like, gay people and LGBTQ people, like.
Yeah.
That kind of thing is a lot of how they die, where people just don't know when to stop. It's fucked.
Yeah.
It's really scary. I did enjoy making Richie gay. I thought it worked really well.
Me too.
But some of the other book things, I really wish they just would have written Mike better. I really feel bad for Mike.
Me too. Like, and the actor was good.
Sucks. Yeah, he was really good, and it really sucks that in both of the movies, he doesn't get anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's how it is in the book, where he's just, like, the character that doesn't get anything, but well, also, like...
He's definitely, like, why? The watcher in the book, but he narrates such big portions of the book that it kind of makes up for it.
Gotcha, where it's, like, he's kind of, like...
He's a bystander. Like a narrator he's a bystander for, like... He's a bystander, and he is more of a narrator character than any of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So he plays an important role in a different way.
Yeah, plus they replace his diary entry at the end of the book that narrates what happened to everyone.
Yeah.
They replace that with Stanley's basically suicide note.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess works, but also it would have been nice for Mike to have that.
Yeah, yeah. And in the book, like, Mike helps Bill nurse Audra back to health after she sees the deadlights and goes into a catatonic state. And, you know, it's Mike who, you know, talks to Richie and reminds Richie of the things that have been happening and that type of thing. So he gets right. quite a bit more in the book, I think. Not as much as he deserves, probably, but he does get, like, a really special role.
Yeah, I also do like that the losers all don't forget everything again.
Yeah, yeah.
I do like that mainly because in the book, it's kind of sad because it's like, well, it's dead, so how are they forgetting it?
Yeah.
Because it always was kind of implied that it was making them forget. So I like that they don't forget in the movie.
Yeah. I think that it's, like, getting farther and farther away from the place in the book. I think that's what it's supposed to mean. But, no, I think that it makes sense either way.
Yeah. I like that they don't forget it. Because otherwise it's kind of like, well, that sucks. Like, then they all just don't, they're just not friends again.
Yeah, right.
Because they can't remember. That kind of sucks. So I'm glad that they let them remember in the movie.
Yeah.
Also, so last night Jane and I were discussing, like, were the kids shots, were they shot 2 years ago, or did they like CGI them to look younger? And the answer is they CGI'd them to look younger.
Really?
Those were all shot recently.
Really?
Yeah. So specifically, Finn Wolfhard had to really be CGI'd because he looks so different.
He looks like a teenager now.
Yeah, so they really had to, they did a lot on him. On Ben, the kid that played Ben had grown like 6 inches.
Oh no.
So they had to like shoot it a little special, and they shaved his legs and had to pluck his eyebrows and stuff because he looks so much older.
That's so funny.
Also, their voices are, they're doing kid voices, all the actors are,
mm-hmm.
but then they were also in post, like,
heightening them, up yeah.
and mixed with their, yeah, so that they sound more like their old selves.
That's,
because
yeah.
apparently all the kids had grown up a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. They're teenagers.
Yeah. What can you do? I know, they're at that, like, pivotal time.
Yeah.
I got a lot of fun facts that are kind of cool.
Cool.
So, the bathroom scene, you know, where Beverly's trapped in the bathroom stall?
Yeah.
4,500 gallons of fake blood was used in that scene.
Oh my god. That's wild.
It is the most fake blood ever used in a film scene.
Oh my god. Even over the elevator scene from The Shining?
Yep.
That's wild. That's so cool.
Stephen King specifically asked if two scenes could be added to the movie. One, which they did, was the Paul Bunyan scene where Paul Bunyan chases Richie.
Mm-hmm.
The second, which they did not add, was that the dairy standpipe collapses and rolls down the hill at the end of the book. They decided they didn't want it to end on that note, so they didn't put it in.
Interesting.
Bill Skarsgård and Bill Hader were apparently friends, and Bill Hader didn't know that Bill Skarsgård could actually move his eyes. He thought that was CGI.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't know I didn't know he really did that.
Yeah, yeah. Bill Skarsgård can actually do that. That's not CGI. The whole eye thing that he does, that's him.
That's so cool.
So he he asked him, like, oh, how do they do that, like, in editing? And Skarsgård was in full costume and makeup at the time, and he's like, what do you mean, like, this? And he did the face, and apparently Bill Hader started to freak out. I know. Bill Hader also said, because this is Bill Hader's first time being in a horror film, he said he really struggled because his natural reaction to be scared was to nervously smile.
He's so cute.
And they kept being like, no, don't do that.
Honestly, that scene where Bill Hader cried, I almost lost my shit. I was like, this is emotional.
I cried. I cried. I did cry in this movie.
I did cry too. It was a lot.
It's really sad. Bill Skarsgård has stated that he enjoyed filming this one more because he finally had adults that he could talk to. And when they filmed for chapter one, he didn't really talk to any of the kids because he wanted them to be more scared, but also because he was like, they're a lot younger than I am.
Yeah. I bet it was fun having like all those adults to talk to.
Yeah. And in fact, the adults and the children like literally almost never filmed together in this movie. I think the only time they were all together was at the first table read.
Wow, that's really interesting.
And then they were not all there at the same time. Yeah. So most of those scenes are filmed separate. Also, all of the kids were asked who they wanted to play themselves.
Uh-huh.
And Finn Wolfhard's first choice was Bill Hader, and he was obviously chosen.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Sophia Lillis picked Jessica Chastain. Her pick was also chosen. Jacobs, which was, it plays Mike, said Chadwick Boseman. Jack Dylan Grazer, who plays Eddie, said Jake Gyllenhaal.
Ooh, that would have been good.
Wyatt Olaf, who plays Stanley, said Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And Jeremy Ray Taylor, who played Ben, said Chris Pratt. And then Jaden Martell, who played Bill, said Christian Bale.
Wow.
But Wolfhard and, I know, which all would have been really good choices.
Yeah.
But Wolfhard and Lillis' choices were the only ones that ended up being cast. Although apparently they did approach some of the actors that they asked, but they said no.
Interesting.
Also in the antique shop where he buys his bike
back. Stephen King!
There's a license. Yeah, where Stephen King's cameo is. The license plate on the wall above Stephen King is CQB241, which is the same license plate in the 1983 Christine.
Ooh, that's so cool.
He also asks Bill $300 for the bike, which is the same amount that George LeBay initially offers to sell Christine for.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, like, a lot of trivia on this movie, and it's still coming out because it did just technically premiere for the first time last night. But I don't know, I really loved it.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good.
Me too. I thought it was good. Even with, like, the problems, it was still an enjoyable movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching it, especially the first half I really, really liked.
Yeah. The last half, also, really big fight scenes for me are just always kind of chaotic, and I lose interest in them really quickly.
Yeah, me too.
And this fight scene particularly was very long.
It was so long. It was really kind of, it was a lot. They kind of lost me on it a little bit.
Yeah, it's really long, and it's kind of dark, and we were not in the best seats in the theater, so it was also kind of hard to see sometimes. Yeah. So, like, all of those things kind of, to me, on the ending. I think the ending is just meh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Do you have a review for
it? I still really enjoyed it. I do. Let me find it. I have to find it. Did I not screenshot it? I did. Honestly, most of them were either, like, really good or they were like, yeah, it was just fine. This one is 5 out of 10. It's called Floating. Still Floating. It Chapter 2 is finally in theaters and people can now watch it. Brave people. Not brave because of the silly jump scares in this movie, but also because of the movie's runtime, which is, yeah, it's long, repetitive, and quite unnecessary. If I were to choose a scene from this movie that I felt was completely redundant to the overall plot and remove it, we would have a 90-minute movie. That illustrates how the sequel of the remake of It fell to me. Look at the character of Bowers, for example. I thought he died in the last movie. Why is he in this movie? To create jump scares? Usually with a character like him, he would be what we call a plot device. He was what, a scare device? The scene with the little girl being eaten? Scary, but what was the point? Pennywise likes to eat children? We already knew that.
True.
The cast is pretty good, with Bill Hader being outstanding. And Bill Skarsgård does a brilliant job once again as Pennywise. The cinematography is passable, but not as good as the first movie. There are some entertaining scenes, but I felt as though the second half of the movie they couldn't help themselves but to throw in jump scares in every scene and made it more predictable as the film went along. The charm from the first film is mostly gone. The sequence of events throughout this movie are very haphazard, beginning in the beginning. The momentum loses... Sorry, I had to switch... The momentum loses its way towards the end, and quite honestly, I wasn't expecting the exposition in some scenes. The standoff is pretty disappointing, but the performances are solid enough to overcome it. Did It Chapter 2 float? Yes, but very slowly. I mostly agree with it.
You what?
I said I mostly agree with that review.
Yeah, me too. The acting is great. It really saves it.
Oh, it really is. In my opinion, it's still an enjoyable movie to watch. Like, I didn't get bored.
No, at all. I was never like, I hate this. And I'm excited to watch it, like, just at home.
Yeah. I think it was good. It just was like, some parts of it are kind of messy.
I agree. And, like, the book is that way, too. So, I mean, it's kind of hard not to. But the first one got away with it. The first one wasn't messy at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, what would you give it?
I think I give it probably like a 6.5 out of 10 or maybe a 7.
I think I'd do probably a 6 out of 10. And then I'd probably give the first one a 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I really do like the first one a lot. Honestly, the acting makes up for a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But just like some things that I was kind of hoping would get answered in this, like, just didn't get answered.
Yeah.
And they just, I guess, aren't ever going to answer it. So, well.
All right.
All right. I think that's it.
Yeah. Follow us on social media.
Yeah. Give us your money on Patreon.
Yep. Let us know if there's any movies you guys would like us to cover, especially if you're a Patreon listener. We always want to know.
Yep.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye.